All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Crimecast. I'm your host, Heather, and today we have a very interesting topic. By demand via the Instagram poll that I made on Crimecast 2020, the murder of Jean Benet Ramsey will be reviewed. It is an unsolved murder, so here is where you get to put your detective hat on to come to some kind of conclusion, because your guess is as good as any detective's. As usual, we will be talking about sensitive content matter, so if that's not for you, feel free to click away. If not, let's get started. 6-year-old Jean Benet Ramsey is killed in her Boulder, Colorado home. John and Patsy Ramsey, her parents, called the police at 5:52 the following morning to repeat that their daughter was missing. Although the police found a ransom note demanding $118,000, the money would never be necessary because Jean Benet's body was found under a blanket in the basement that afternoon. The crime soon became a national sensation. Jean Benet, who had been beaten and strangled, was found with tape over her mouth and hands were tied together with a cord. There were also some signs of sexual assault. However, Boulder detectives did a poor job of preserving the evidence and actually allowed John Ramsey to disrupt the crime scene by removing his daughter's body from the basement. With no signs of an intruder, suspicion quickly fell onto Jean Benet's parents. John Ramsey was a businessman who was the president of Access Graphics, a computer system company that later became a subsidiary of Lockheed Martin. His first marriage ended in divorce in 1978. His two surviving adult children, a son and daughter, lived elsewhere. His 22-year-old daughter from a first marriage, Elizabeth, died in a 1992 car crash. In 1991, John had moved with his second wife and family to Boulder, where Access Graphics headquarters was located. Patricia, or Patsy Ramsey, entered their daughter in various child beauty pageants that were held in Boulder. Jean Benet won the titles of America's Royale's Miss, Little Miss Charvelou, Little Miss Colorado, Colorado State All-Star Kids Cover Girl, and National Tiny Miss Beauty. Jean Benet's active role in child beauty pageants and Patsy's reported pageant mother behavior were reported by the media after the murder. The ransom note also seemed suspicious to the authorities. According to the statements that Patsy gave to the authorities on December 26, 1996, she realized that her daughter was missing after she found a 2.5-page handwritten ransom note on the kitchen staircase. The note demanded $118,000. John pointed out to the police first on the scene that that amount was nearly identical to the Christmas bonus of the prior year, which suggested that someone who wouldn't have access to that information would be involved in the crime. Investigators looked at several theories behind the dollar amount demanded. They considered employees at Access Graphics who may have known the amount of John's prior bonus. They also considered the possibility that the ransom demand was a reference to Psalm 118 and spoke to religious sources to determine possible relevance. The ransom note was also unusually long. The FBI told the police that it was very unusual for such a note to be written at the crime scene. The police believe that the note was staged because it did not have any fingerprints except for Patsy's and the authorities who handled it, and because it included an unusual use of exclamation marks and initialms. The note and practice draft were written with a pen and pad of paper from the Ramsey home. According to the CBI report, there are indications that the author of the ransom note is Patricia Ramsey. However, the evidence fell short of a definitive conclusion. Michael Baden, a board-certified forensic pathologist who had consulted with both sides of the case, said he had never seen a note like it in his 60-year experience, and that he did not think it was written by an outside stranger. A federal court ruled it highly unlikely that Patsy wrote the note, citing 6 certified handwriting experts. The court boned the existence of self-proclaimed experts without credentials, trying to wrangle their way out of the case by accusing Patsy without scientific bias. For the curious public, the fact that John and Patsy Ramsey failed to cooperate with the investigation fueled the speculation about their guilt. In addition, Jean-Bonnet's active participation in beauty pageants, which required her to wear heavy makeup and sophisticated clothing, was widely considered to be inappropriate. The only people known to be in the house on the night of Jean-Bonnet's death were her immediate family, Patsy and John Ramsey, and their son Baruch. The ransom note contained specific instructions against contacting the police and friends, but Patsy telephoned the police at 5:52 a.m. She also called family and friends. 2 police officers responded to the 911 call and arrived at the Ramsey home within 3 minutes. They conducted a courtesy search of the house but did not find any signs of forced entry. Officer Rick French went to the basement and came to a door that was secured by a wooden latch. He paused for a moment in the front door, but walked away without opening it. French later explained that he was looking for an exit route by the kidnapper, which the clothes peg inside the door ruled out. Jean-Bonnet's body was later found behind the door. With Jean-Bonnet still missing, John made arrangements to pay the ransom. A forensic team was dispatched to the house. The team initially believed that the child had been kidnapped, and Jean-Bonnet's bedroom was the only room in the house that needed to be cordoned off to prevent contamination of evidence. No precautions were taken to prevent the contamination of evidence in the rest of the house. Meanwhile, friends and family's minister arrived at the house to support the Ramseys. The victim advocates also arrived at the scene. Visitors picked up and cleaned surfaces in the kitchen, possibly destroying evidence. Boulder detective Linda Arndt arrived about 8 a.m. with the goal of awaiting the kidnapper's instructions, but there was never an attempt by anyone to claim the money. At 1 p.m., Detective Arndt asked John Ramsey and Fleet White, a family friend, to search the house to see if anything seemed amiss. They started their search in the basement. John opened the latch door with Officer French, which Officer French had overlooked, and found his daughter's body in one of the rooms. Jean-Bonnet's mouth was covered with duct tape, a nylon cord was found around her wrists and neck, and her torso was covered by a white blanket. John Ramsey picked up the child's body and took it upstairs. When Jean-Bonnet was moved, the crime scene was further contaminated by critical forensic evidence and critical forensic evidence was disturbed for the returning forensics team. Each of the Ramseys provided handwriting, blood, and hair samples to the police. John and Patsy participated in a preliminary interview for more than 2 hours, and Baruch was also interviewed within the first couple weeks following Jean-Bonnet's death. A garrote was made from a length of nylon cord, and the broken handle of a paintbrush was tied around Jean-Bonnet's neck and had apparently been used to strangle her. Part of the bristle end of the paintbrush was found in a tub containing Patsy's art supplies, but the bottom third of it was never found despite extensive searching of the house by police and in subsequent days. The autopsy revealed a vegetable or fruit material may represent pineapple, which Jean-Bonnet had eaten a few hours before her death. Photographs of the home were taken on the day when Jean-Bonnet's body was found, and it was found to show a bowl of pineapple on the kitchen table with a spoon in it. However, neither John or Patsy said they remembered putting the bowl on the table or feeding pineapple to Jean-Bonnet. Police reported that they found Jean-Benet's 9-year-old brother Baruch Ramsey's fingerprints on the bowl. The Ramseys have always said that Baruch slept through the entire night until he was awakened several hours later after the police arrived. Experts, media commentators, and the Ramseys have identified potential suspects in the case. Boulder police initially focused on almost exclusively upon John and Patsy, but by October 1997, they had over 1,600 people in their index of persons of interest for the case. Errors that were made in the initial investigation complicated the resolution of the investigation and applicable theory. Those errors, including loss of contamination of evidence, lack of inexperienced and technical staff on the investigation, evidence shared with the Ramseys, and delayed informal interviews with the parents, were the list of evidence that was tampered. Lou Schmidt was a detective who came out of retirement in early 1997 to assist the Boulder County District's Attorney Office with the case. In May 1998, he presented his findings to the Boulder Police with other staff members to the DA's office, concluding that the evidence pointed away from the Ramseys. They were unable to successfully challenge the police department's belief that the Ramseys were guilty. The DA's office sought to take control of the investigation. Due to the animosity between the police and the DA's office, the pressure to obtain a conviction, Colorado Governors Roy Moore interceded and named Michael Caine as special prosecutor to initiate a grand jury. Two of the lead investigators in the case had opposing views. Both Lou Schmidt and Steve Thomas ultimately resigned. Schmidt because he believed that the investigation had completely overlooked the intruder hypothesis, and Thomas because the DA's office had interfered and failed to support the police investigation of the case. The investigating continued, and in 2015, Brechner agreed with exonerating the Ramseys, stating, "Exonerating anyone based on a small piece of evidence that has not been proved to be even connected to the crime is absurd." He also stated that the unknown DNA from Jean-Benet's clothing has got to be the focus of the investigation. At this point in time, and that until we can prove otherwise, the suspect is the donor of that unknown DNA. In 2016, Gordon Coombs, a former investigator for the Boulder County District Attorney's Office, also questioned total absolution of the Ramseys, stating, "We all shed DNA all the time without our skin cells. It can be deposited anywhere at any time for various reasons. Reasons that are benign. To clear somebody just on the premise of touch DNA, especially when you have a situation where the crime scene wasn't secure in the beginning, really is a stretch." Stephen E. Pitt, a forensic psychiatrist hired by Boulder authorities, said that Lacey's public exoneration of the Ramseys was a big slap in the face to Chief Brechner and a core group of detectives who had been working on the case for years. The investigation into Jean-Benet's murder continued for more than 2 years, but in October 1999, the grand jury hearing evidence in the case was finally dismissed with no recommendations for filing charges. So, now that you kind of understand the story of little Jean-Benet, what a terrible story, there are two theories surrounding this case saying what could happen. You've already heard a little bit whether it's going to be the family murdered her or an outside intruder. So let's take a look at the theories. There are two types of theories about the death of Jean-Benet. One is that the family member theory. Boulder police initially concentrated almost exclusively upon the parents, Jean and Patsy Ramsey. According to Greg McCary, a retired profiler with the FBI, statistically, it is a 12-to-1 probability that it is a family member or caregiver who is involved in the homicide of a child. The police saw no evidence of a forced entry, but they did see evidence of staging the scene, such as the ransom note. They did not find the Ramseys cooperative in helping them solve the death of their daughter. The Ramseys had said that their reluctance was due to their fear that there would be not a full investigation for intruders, and that they would be hastily selected as the key suspects in the case, according to the Daily Camera. One theory is that Patsy struck JonBenet in a fit of rage after a bedwetting episode and strangled her to cover up what happened, after mistakenly thinking she was already dead. However, Patsy did not have a known history of uncontrolled anger. JonBenet's brother later said, "We didn't get spanked, nothing of the sort, nothing close, nothing near laying a finger on us, let alone killing your child." Theoretically, the strangulation could have been a red herring aspect to conceal other elements of the assault and killing. Baruch, who was 9 years old at the time of JonBenet's death, was interviewed by investigators at least 3 times. The first 2 interviews did not raise any concerns about him. A review by a child psychologist stated that it appeared that the Ramseys had a healthy, caring family relationship. In 1998, Boulder Police Chief Mark Beckner said during an interview with a news reporter that Baruch Ramsey was not involved in the killing of his sister. In May 1999, the Boulder County District Attorney's Office reiterated that Baruch Ramsey was not a suspect. The investigations had never considered him a suspect. The Ramseys offered a $100,000 reward in the newspaper ad dated April 27, 1997. 3 days later, more than 4 months after the body of their daughters was found, they submitted for the first time a separate formal interview at the Boulder, Colorado, the Boulder County Justice Center. Sorry. In 1999, Colorado Governor Bill Owens spoke out, telling the Ramseys couple to quit hiding behind their attorneys and quit hiding behind their PR firm. A Colorado grand jury voted in 1999 to indict the parents. The indictment cited 2 counts of each child abuse and said the parents did unlawfully, knowingly, recklessly, and felonishly permit a child to be unreasonably placed in a situation that posed a threat to injury to the child's life or health, which resulted in the death of JonBenet Ramsey, a child under the age of 16. Among the experts who testified in the case were the DNA specialist Barry Scheck and forensic experts Dr. Henry Lee. On October 13, 1999, Alex Hunter, who was the district attorney at the time, refused to sign the indictment, saying that the evidence was insufficient for prosecution. The public thought that the grand jury's investigation had been inconclusive. In 2002, the statute of limitations on the grand jury charges expired. The grand jury's vote to indict was not relevant, not revealed publicly until October 25th, 2013, when previously settled court documents were released. Alright, that was the family theory. Let's take a look on the intruder theory. The second theory is the intruder theory. The police and the prosecutors followed the leads for intruders partly due to the unidentified boot mark left in the basement room where JonBenet's body was found. Early persons of interest included neighbor Bill McReynolds, who played Santa Claus for a former family housekeeper, Linda Poe, and a man named Michael Hegloth, who died in apparent suicide shortly after JonBenet's death. Hundreds of DNA tests were performed to find a match to the DNA recovered during her autopsy. Schmidt assessed the evidence and concluded that an intruder had committed the crime. On the night JonBenet was killed, there had been 2 windows that were left slightly open to allow for electrical cords outside for the Christmas lights to pass through. a broken basement window, and one unlocked door were also found. Schmidt's theory that was that someone entered the Ramsey home through the broken basement window. This has been criticized because there was an intact cobweb in the basement window, and the steel gate that covered the window had also undisturbed cobwebs, and the foliage around the grate had not been disturbed. There were also cobwebs in the tracks of various windows, and dust and debris were on some sills. Schmidt believed that the intruder subdued Jean-Benet using a stun gun and took her down to the basement. Jean-Benet was killed and a ransom note was left. Schmidt's theory was supported by the former FBI agent John E. Douglas, who had been hired by the Ramsey family. Believing that the Ramseys were innocent, Schmidt resigned from the investigation on September 20, 1998, 5 days after the grand jury was covered against the Ramseys. While no longer an official investigator on the case, Schmidt continued to work on it until his death in 2010. It was determined that there had been more than 100 burglaries in the Ramsey's neighborhood in the months before Jean-Benet's murder. There were 38 registered sex offenders living within a 2-mile radius of the Ramsey's home. In 2001, former Boulder County prosecutor Tripp DeMuth and Boulder County Sheriff's Detective Steve Answorth stated that there should be a more aggressive investigation of the intruder theory. One of the individuals whom Schmidt identified as a suspect was Gary Howard Olivia, who was arrested for 2 counts of attempted sexual exploitation of a child and 1 count of sexual exploitation of a child. Charges in June 2016, according to Boulder Daily Camera. Olivia, a registered sex offender who was publicly identified as a suspect in October 2001 in an episode of 48 Hours Investigations. Olivia had allegedly confessed to accidentally killing the 6-year-old in a series of letters sent to a former high school classmate. Gary Olivia, age 54, is a convicted pedophile currently serving a 10-year sentence in Colorado for possession of child pornography, but is up for parole this year. Olivia wrote in a letter to his former classmate, Michael Vale, "I never loved anyone like I did Jean-Benet, and yet I let her slip and hit her head and bashed in half, and I watched her die. It was an accident. Please believe me, she was not like the other kids." In another letter to Vale, Olivia wrote, "Jean-Benet completely changed me and removed all evil from me. Just one look at her beautiful face, her glowing beautiful skin, and her divine God body, I realized I was wrong to kill the others. Yet, by accident, she died, and it was my fault." Vale had suspected his old high school buddy killed Jean-Benet for the last 22 years, ever since he received a disturbing phone call from Olivia shortly after the murder and before the case made national headlines. Back in 1996, Olivia was a registered sex offender whose listed address was not far from the Ramsey home, and he reportedly attended a candlelight vigil shortly after Jean-Benet's murder. But despite receiving several tips from Vale, Boulder police didn't consider Olivia as a suspect until 2000, when he was arrested on unrelated charges and police found a photo of Jean-Benet, a poem he written titled Ode to Jean-Benet, and a shotgun among his possessions. Several investigators, including Lou Schmidt, a retired homicide detective hired by the Boulder District Attorney, had theorized that a shotgun may have been used to subdue Jean-Benet the night of the murder. Boulder police investigators lost initial interest in Olivia when new DNA testing methods failed to match his DNA to the crime scene, but the department has since acknowledged that the crime scene was mishandled. In 2002, Schmidt told 48 Hours that he still considers Olivia as a suspect. So did Vale, who told the Daily Mail that Boulder police have placed too much emphasis on DNA matches, when it is well known that the crime scene and evidence in the case was compromised. Haunted by Olivia's tearful phone call, Vail had maintained contact with him for years in hopes in eliciting a confession. On Thursday, January 10th, 2019, the Boulder Police Department issued a statement to the media on its website, seemingly in response to the Daily Mail story. In quotes, "The Boulder Police Department is aware of Daria Olivia and has investigated his personal involvement in the case, including several previous confessions." The statement reads, "The department routinely receives information on this investigation. Information provided by the police department is reviewed along with many tips and theories we receive. There are no new updates in this investigation, and the department will not comment any further." So, what do you think happened? Do you believe that the parents are innocent, or was it her brother? The intruder theory may be true, but until more evidence is confirmed, we may never know, and little JonBenet may never have justice. This case also highlights the importance of forensic analysis, as the initial crime scene was disrupted, most concrete evidence was destroyed. With her case remaining cold, the only hope is to find a DNA match or for someone to step forward. I want to say thank you so much for listening to this episode of Crimecast today, and for the next one, we will discuss the topic of arson. So stay tuned and see you then.